back right now, right off the bat, and I know everybody in the room will agree with this. The best trucks on the road are clearly Chevys. Yeah.
Amen.
Now, a month ago, I heard that, whatever that was. You know, a couple of months ago, I would have said Ford, you know, because that's what I was driving. But anyway, you know, the best flavor of ice cream is obviously chocolate.
Yes.
Still not everybody, you know. Look, I could talk about the best superhero, you know. I could bring up Superman, Batman, you know, and who that is, or you know, one of the Marvel people. I could do all those things. I could talk about the best, you know, I could make a statement. The best football team is clearly the Steelers. And you see, I know how to pick a fight. You know, how about genres of music? I could talk about, you know, the best genre of music is classic rock. And all the and or I could do it this way. The worst genre of music is clearly country. So, see, I know how to pick a fight. The next president of the United States should... No, never mind. I'm not going to... You know, I mean, I could bring up, you know, everybody should be wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. You know, there's a lot of things. Look, it's easy to pick a fight when you know people disagree, right? I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up, right? Thanksgiving, family time together. Probably everybody in the room, you have that uncle or, you know, that family member that you know, if you bring up this topic, it's going to go bad real fast, right? I mean, you know how to start that in your family. Don't do that, by the way. Don't do that. But you know how it works. When you know people disagree with something, it's easy to pick a fight. But you know, I can also start a fight in here by saying something that I would believe every single person in this room agrees with. I'm going to make a statement here in just a minute. I'm going to put it on the screen, as a matter of fact. And again, this is where I'm going to ask you to hold your comments at home on Facebook. I'm going to ask all of you to kind of just, you know, just bear with me and let me give you the entire message. But I'm going to put a statement up on the screen here in a minute that I believe we all would agree with, and yet it could start a fight this fast. Here we go. Black Lives Matter. Now, isn't it an amazing thing? I'm pretty sure everybody in this room believes that the life of every single black person, and again, I'm using that term because that's what's it. You know, some people prefer African American, some people prefer people of color, but whatever it is, I don't think there's a person in this room that believes that the life of any black person doesn't matter. And by the way, if you do believe that, your wiring's messed up. I mean, you got something for brains that's not brains. So, you know, I believe we all, but yet, don't you see the fighting going on over this phrase? And yet, I think that everybody believes that. Now, I you know, it's and a lot of it, I think, is the way that it's, you know, phrases sometimes take on a bigger life than what they are. Look, I believe that, I'm going to guess, but I have no idea what the number is, but I have to believe that in America, there's got to be less than 5% of Americans that don't believe that. I can't believe there's more than a few percentage numbers of Americans who actually think that a black life doesn't matter. Are you with me? I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. And yet, look at how our country is divided over those three words put in that order. Now, if I really want to pick a fight, now listen to me. I said I'm not going to shy away from this. I'm not going to shy away from what I'm about to do. It's time for God's people to take the lead in rightness, in righteousness, and doing right, and talking about things. And if we don't talk about things in church, then we're left with the way they talk about it out in the news media or somewhere else, and that's just a big mess. So I'm going to talk about it here today, so please bear with me. But if you really wanted to pick a fight following, if this phrase gets posted, and then this one gets posted. No, wait. I ask you all not to weigh in on that. No, look. Is there anybody that doesn't believe that? Tom, you believe that? You believe that all lives matter? Of course you do. Any sensible person believes that. Any human being believes that. And yet, if you follow Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter, you start a firestorm of unbelievable proportions. Right? Because there's so much interpretation that's going into these things. Now, if I really want to start a fight, and again, I'm being a little facetious, but I'm also being very serious, and you know I am. But if I really wanted to cause an uproar and cause this to go to a whole new level, then I could add this one. Blue Lives Matter. For those of you at home, it says Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. That means police officers. Now look, again, I can't imagine that there are very many people that don't believe that the life of a police officer matters, right? And yet, look at the firestorm of fighting that is going on in our country over these three things. Now, you know, I believe that I can put my finger on the problem. I think I know exactly what the problem is. I believe I can touch on the root, not just of the problem with all the fighting going on right now. I believe I'm going to touch on the root problem with all racial issues today. Any racial issue, any kind of unrest. In fact, it may be all issues in general that are caused by what I'm going to talk about today. But we see in fact, even in this room right now, even though we all probably, or nearly everybody, agrees with all of these statements, we could have a very bad discussion or argument in this room, all with good people. And those of you that are sitting at home, you know, I'm sure you're sitting there with your fingers on the keyboard. Resist that urge, please. Just stay in here with me, stay in here with us, and I'll tell you what, because we are all God's people. And if you're not, we're all God's people. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you're not, I invite you to do that today. We believe that. But we're all God's people. We're going to talk about this as God's people today. So here's what I believe the problem. I believe I can put my finger on the problem. And this is the basis of my message today. So please listen carefully and process best you can what I'm going to say today with an open heart and an open mind. Here's what I believe the problem is. When we think about Black Lives Matter, when I put the expression Black Lives Matter up there, what we don't understand is what black life is. Next. We don't understand black life. Now listen, very few of us understand what black life is. Only 13% of the population, probably only two people in this room, understand what black life is. What do I mean by that? I mean, I don't understand what it is like to live my life as a black person. I don't know what that is. I've never been there, so I don't know. So only 13% of our population understand what black life is. Now, if you do understand what that is, you interpret the phrase Black Lives Matter completely differently than somebody who doesn't understand what black life is. Do you follow me? Now, it gets even smaller after that, because in terms of blue life, for example, as a police officer, only 0.25% or 0.25% of the people in America understand what blue life is. In other words, to be a police officer. Look, most of us in this room, we have no idea what it feels like to wake up every day as a police officer. To go to work every day as a police officer. We just don't know what that feels like. We don't know what that is. So we can't understand it. Now, you can identify with them. You can support them, just like with black life. But we can't understand that. Right, you follow me, right? But even beyond that, 0% know what all life is. Okay? I can't, because I can only understand the life that I have lived. Yes? Just like you can only understand the life that you have lived. And the things that we understand all are a part of the life that we have lived. So now you might, now here, but here, and here's the point about this, and we're all going to learn from this, but I'm going to deal with this again very pointedly today. So for example, someone who understands what black life is doesn't necessarily understand what blue life is. And somebody who understands, you might have a black police officer who understands what black life is and who understands what blue life is, but he doesn't understand what anything else is. Right? He's not going to understand everybody. So do you see we're all coming at things from a different perspective? And so We have this thing where, you know, those who understand, okay, so those who understand what black life is, they have no idea what it's like for that police officer who's coming into their neighborhood. Right? And those who understand blue, they have no idea what kind of life they're going to deal with a situation in. So we're all kind of at a very great disadvantage in this thing. Now, there is one thing, though, that they all have in common. I'm going to put a word up here on the screen in just a minute. There is one thing that every single person who understands what black life is, who's lived it, gets it, understands it, and there's one thing that every person who has been a police officer, is a police officer, married to a police officer, all these things, everybody who understands what blue life is, they have one thing in that is great in common, and it is the root cause of all the issues. And it's what I'm going to talk about today. And here's what it is. It's fear. It's fear. Did you guess that? You guessed that, didn't you, Ashley? Ashley's one of our guests today. We're glad you're here. It's fear. You see, when a police officer drives into a black community because he's been called in there, he has no idea what he's going to face in there, yes? And he's afraid. He's afraid. And the black community that when they hear a police car coming into their community or a black family, you know, a home, a black person, and they hear that a police is at the door, they hear that's coming, they're also afraid. They're afraid. This is what's going on. This is what's being talked about in our world, but all we're hearing is black lives matter, blue lives matter, all lives matter. We're using these phrases that are so inflammatory and nobody's really thinking about or nobody's trying to understand. It's all motivated by that word right there, and that is fear. That is the foundation, and that is the basis. That is where all forms of conflict, I believe. I know it's the basis for all forms of any kind of racial issues in our world, and I'm going to prove it to you from Scripture right now, because this is not a new concept. I'm going to take you all the way back many, 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 many years ago, millennia ago. Back at the beginning of your Bible, you have, if you've read through your Bible, you know Genesis is the first book of the Bible. The second book of the Bible is what? One of these days, you're all going to answer a Bible question for me, and I'm going to feel good as a pastor. But until then, thank you for the three of you who knew that Exodus was the second book of the Bible. We got a lot of young Christians and we got a lot of old Christians who don't know their way through the Bible. But anyway, look, Exodus is the second chapter of the Bible. So we know in the beginning of we know if you read through the book of Genesis, you know that God created the world. We come upon the time of Noah when the flood took place and all of that. After that, God said, "I'm going to start a people. I'm going to create a nationality of people." That, by the way, there is only one race, and that is the human race, okay? But, all one blood. That's right, Galatians chapter 2, I think. So we know that after that, God called Abraham, and he said, "Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation of you, and I'll tell you why. I want there to be a people that's called after my name. I want there to be a people that will live by my standards." And by the way, he still wants that. He still wants that. Well, amen goes there. You had your chance. But he said, "I'm going to call a people by my name. They're going to live by my standards, and they are then going to be the group of people that I will use to bless the rest of the world." And that nation is called Israel. He began that with Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those happen to be the 12 tribes of Israel today. So the story, we're going to pick up the story here. As Jacob had these 12 sons, and one of his sons, named Joseph, was chosen by God, and he was hated by his brothers, as a matter of fact. He ended up in Egypt, away from the rest of his family. He rose to power in Egypt, became the second in command, second only to Pharaoh. So at that time, Egypt was a very, very powerful nation. The people of God were just an infant nation. In fact, they were just a family. They were just a family with 12 sons, a father, a mother, and then all the sons had a few grandkids. And so that's kind of where they were, about 70 people we're going to see here in just a minute. But Joseph was in Egypt, and Joseph grows to power. And so when there was a famine back home, all of Joseph's brothers and his father ended up coming to Egypt, and that's where we pick up the story. So they all come to Egypt, and we begin the story in Exodus chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Here we go. Exodus chapter 1, verse 5. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. That's Isaac and his wife and his wives and all the 12 sons and their families. For Joseph was in Egypt already. Verse 6. And Joseph died. Now, So there's going to be some generations that pass here. Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. In other words, Joseph, all of his brothers died, their wives died. It was their children and their children after them. And also we find that Pharaoh also died. Verse 7. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now notice in that verse right there, we're going to see the beginnings of issues among groups of people, nations of people. The land was filled with them. Just remember that phrase. Now, what we have here, so let's go on to verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So the Pharaoh who loved Joseph, Joseph and that Pharaoh that we met earlier, they were just like that. They were partners and they loved each other. They helped, you know, the Pharaoh loved Joseph and Joseph helped him to prosper greatly and they became very, very wealthy as a nation because of Joseph. But he died. His children and those descendants, over time, they didn't know. Not only did they not know Joseph, but they didn't know the history of Joseph. They didn't have been taught about what a great guy he was. The Pharaoh had not passed down to his descendants how much that they owed to Joseph. And so he didn't know Joseph. Verse 9. Now watch. And he said to his people, that king said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now do you see that? So Pharaoh's looking at that. Now look, at this time, the relationship between Israel and Egypt was still a good one. Israel didn't own any of the land, but they farmed the land. They raised the cattle. They helped the people. The people of Egypt and the people of Israel lived in harmony together. This is how it was. Because the people of Israel had some skills and some knowledge the people of Egypt did not have. They certainly did not hate the children of Israel, and they certainly didn't think they were better than they, right? You see it? In fact, Pharaoh said, hey, I'm not so sure that we're even as good as they are. So what happens when you begin to notice and begin to feel a threat that these people of Israel, so the Egyptians are looking at the children of Israel and saying, man, there's a bunch of them. Remember the land was filled with them? And they're beginning to wonder what might happen. Look, let's continue on. Verse 10. He said, come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war. They'll join themselves to our enemies. What do you call what's happening in the hearts of the people of Israel or of Egypt? Fear. They're beginning to be afraid. They don't hate the Israelites. They don't think they're better than the Israelites. But they're sure becoming afraid of them, aren't they? And I'll show you, we're going to find out what fear always leads to. So let's continue on. Verse 11. Therefore they set taskmasters over them. Taskmasters. You know what that means? Slave masters. They said, look, we're afraid they're going to become too powerful. These Israelites are going to become too powerful. They're going to be more powerful than we are. The best way we can deal with that is to enslave them, oppress them, put them down. And if we do that, surely that will keep them from multiplying. They set taskmasters over them. Watch verse 12. Anytime you oppress somebody, does it ever last forever? Does oppression ever last forever? When you push people down and push people down and push people down, does it last forever, yes or no? Does there come a point where, okay, let's let the Bible speak. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. You see that? The more they were trying to stop them from becoming powerful by oppressing them, but it ended up having the opposite effect. And watch the result of that. And they were in what? Fear of the children of Israel. They were afraid of them. Verse 13. You know what happens in most cases when there's a government program that they realize isn't working? What do? Double down. Right? Isn't that what governments do? You know, this isn't working what we're doing in the school, so let's just throw more money at it. Let's just do more of the same thing. That's what they did. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. That means they made it that much harder for them. Verse 14. Let's continue on. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Now look, we're talking about how did we get to this place where we have these racial problems. This is the thinking that's going on in a lot of times, I believe, in the communities that are there's a lot of bitterness, aren't there? Bitterness over the bondage that they feel like there is in mortar and brick and all manner of service and so forth. And they made them serve was with rigor. Now, fear. See, this is what happens. So fear caused the people of Israel. They began to be afraid of, the Egyptians began to be afraid of the people of Israel, and so they felt like they had to oppress them in order to keep them from becoming so strong and so powerful. Fear then produces children. Can I show you what fear produces in children? Look at the next verse, verse 15. Wait, I didn't put that in there, did I? So, I didn't put it in there. Too much scripture. So let me tell you where it went. So Pharaoh went to all the midwives. If you know the story, you know what happens next. It just goes downhill from there. So Pharaoh went to all the midwives and he said, "Hey, you've gotten Tom. You're a midwife today. Tom, you've been so many things in our church. You've been the devil. You've been God. You've been this. But today you're a midwife. Okay. Oh, can you imagine?" Can you imagine, ladies, can you imagine if you're in the hospital? Dallas, can you imagine being in the hospital to have your baby and Tom walks in and he's the guy I don't think so. And seeing that gray beard pop out from underneath that mask. But you're a midwife. And Pharaoh came to the midwives and he said, "Hey, I want you to kill every Hebrew baby that's born." Look, folks, fear has children called hatred. You see, after a while, in order to justify your fear, when fear wants to get rid of those that they disagree with, when you're afraid of them, you want to get rid of that. You want to do something about that. And in order to get to the point where you can kill a life, you can take a life, you have to somehow make that so evil. And it made perfect sense to Pharaoh. Now, for the Hebrew midwives, that was appalling, wasn't it? By the way, I hope that's appalling to you. You know, I'm not going to go there. The human response when you're faced with fear is to make the object so evil that you feel okay about killing them. And so we have this concept that's taking place here. Now, obviously, to the Jewish midwives, this was horrifically evil. To Pharaoh, it made perfect sense. So here's my question. How do you have two groups of human beings? You've got these Egyptians who believe it's perfectly okay to kill these babies. And you've got the Hebrews who obviously believe that's a horrific and abhorrent thing to do. How can two human beings see the exact same thing and feel so differently about it? How is that possible that two human beings could see the same situation and yet see it so differently? Well, Solomon, God spoke through Solomon to help us with this, and we find it in Proverbs chapter 16, and here's what it comes down to. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. Here's what God said. God said, "Well, there is a way that," would you notice the next word with me? "Seems right." See, there's a way. And we could, I think without doing any injustice to the verse, we could say, there's always a way that seems right. You with me? Hey, it seems right to some people that, remember we said all lives matter? Well, that is after they're born. Wait a minute. I'll see, I can start another fight with that one. Right? But there is a way that seems right. Well, it seems right. It feels right. You know, it felt right to Pharaoh to kill the babies as soon as they were born. That seemed right to them. That's how two groups of people can see this differently, because God said, "Hey, there's something in your nature that's flawed." And by the way, whether you're here today, whether you're at home, please understand this. And I know you. I know those of you that you're gonna disagree with something I say today. You're smarter than I am, and I get that. I know that you're right, and I understand all that. But please understand, you're flawed too. You've got a flaw in your brain, and it's not a tumor, and it's not cancer. It's nothing like that. It's called your sin nature is still a part of your life. My sin nature is a part of my life. My brain is not always wired right. Amen. My decisions are not always good ones, and neither are yours. Amen. And your opinions aren't always right either, and neither are mine. That's what happened. I'll tell you what, there's some opinions in here, though, that are always right. Amen. But fear causes all of us to start looking at things differently. When you become afraid, fear will cause you to start looking at things in a wrong way. God said, there's always going to be a way that seems right. There's always going to be a way that seems right to people. But would you notice what he said? But the end? He said, I'll tell you where it's going to end. It's going to end in death. Yeah. Hey, it seemed perfectly right to Pharaoh, and the end ended in death. Right? He said, there's a way that seems right to you. You know, do you know that's how the KKK started? KKK started with fear. Yep, right. Listen. The Ku Klux Klan began with a bunch of white men who were afraid. Yep. Right. What were they afraid of? They were afraid like Pharaoh was afraid. They were watching these black families that were now free and becoming very, very, and by the way, they were multiplying. They were becoming very prosperous, and I think that was the right thing. And they were looking at that. They were looking at the population rising, and they became afraid. Just like Pharaoh said, the land was filled with them. That's kind of how those guys saw it. Now you listen to me, I'm not celebrating that in any way. I'm denigrating that, but my point is, it began with fear. It didn't begin with hatred. It began with fear. They were afraid of them. And so what happens when you're afraid of somebody? Well, then you justify hanging them. Look, I know there's some of you saying, oh, Pastor, we have guests here today. Why are you talking about that? Look, I don't care who's here, and I don't care who's listening in. That is the truth. Cowards hung black people because they were black, and they were afraid of them. They were scared, and so they were looking at that, and they were afraid of them. And this is where Pharaoh was. Pharaoh was afraid of these people. You know, that's how it happened. And by the way, the Black Lives Matter movement right now, please understand this, there is a difference between the Black Lives Matter movement or the principles upon which people stand for that and the Black Lives Matter organization. Yep. Yep. I'm going to tell you straight up right now, no Christian ought to be a part of the Black Lives Matter organization, but no Christian ought to be opposed to the principles that Black Lives Matter is fighting for. I hope you got that. The organization is wicked people. They admit it. I mean, they're trained Marxists. They don't care. They don't like America. They don't like the family unit. They don't like any of that stuff. The organization is wrong. The motives of the movement is not wrong. Wow. My knees are so bad, I don't know how to dance around anything. I can't dance around anything. My knees, I'll fall down if I try to dance around something. See? Now, my point is, that's how it started. And by the way, the Black Lives Matter movement right now, along with some of the other movements right now, you're causing fear. It's not going to end the way you think it's going to end. It is not going to. Fear doesn't produce anything but a bad end. When you make people so afraid, it's backlash right now. Because people were so afraid, now they're trying to cause fear the other way. That is not going to end any better. It's going to end in death. I promise you that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be, things aren't going to go the way that it is. Because you're dealing with people who don't speak the same language. Who don't understand, don't get it. And most of us don't. I said, only 13% of people understand what black life is. Only 0.25% understand what blue life is, understand what it's like to be a police officer. And that means that those who understand the one don't understand the other most of the time. And so that brings about fear, and fear always brings about this kind of thing we're talking about. So, about 90 years ago, we had a president who took the office for the first time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he made a statement on his first inaugural speech that I don't think anybody then understood, and I never understood it until now. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. He said, look, we don't need to fear the Japanese. We need to fear what fear is going to make us think about them. We don't need to fear the Germans. We need to fear what it's going to do to our minds as we think about Germans. And did those of you that were alive then, I mean, John, you were what, 40, 50 at that time? And I mean, give or take a year. Hey, but that was the attitude, right? I mean, it was a bad time to be a Japanese American. You know why? Not because they were doing anything wrong, but because fear was causing people to hate them and put them in these camps. And all, you see, this is the point. Fear always leads to hatred, even when there's nothing to hate there. Even when you agree about fundamental issues like we've been talking about here. Fear is a terrible, terrible thing, folks. That's what I'm talking about today. See, we don't need to be afraid. I got to move on. We don't need to fear. Look, I don't need to fear people that are different from me. I need to be worried about what fear might cause me to do to them. Amen. And that's what we're seeing right now in our world. Our world is controlled by fear. Do you know that our world is being controlled right now? 100% of the people on this planet, or nearly that, are being controlled by fear of a virus that only has power over less than 1% of them. But the whole world is being controlled by it. Fear. Fear of something that isn't even a threat is keeping people that don't need to be afraid out of church and out of life. And they're not going back to work and all that. Now, there are some people that need to be afraid. There are some people that for them, it is a very, very real threat. But for 99.99% of the people of the world, it's not a threat at all. Children aren't going to school right now. You know, your children aren't allowed to go to school right now over a fear of something that's only going to affect 1 out of 10 million of them. 1 out of 10 million. You know, they have a better chance of playing scratch off. They got a better chance of winning the lottery than dying of COVID-19. Look, and I know that's controversial with some people, but you know what? This is the day for that, I guess. But it's a fact. You know what I would be afraid of if I had kids right now? What I am afraid for my children is the Marxism that they're hearing in school. That's what I'm afraid of. What I'm concerned about is the socialism that they're hearing, the anti-God stuff they're hearing, the anti-family stuff that they're hearing. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm not worried about them dying of COVID-19. I'm worried, and I'm not worried about that 1 out of 10 million that is going to eventually die of that. I'm worried about all of the suicides that are happening right now among teenagers because they're sitting at home. All the accidental overdoses, all the poison the kids are getting, all the accidents and the drownings and all of that everybody's getting. That's what I'm really worried about. But my point is, fear is something that some people just don't want to listen to. Don't want to hear about it. But fear is driving families apart. Fear is driving God's people apart. Fear is causing hatred where there wasn't hatred before. I believe, I'm just going to be straight up. I believe that fear of these people that are protesting, and let me specifically talk about Black Lives Matter, I believe that's going to cause some people who don't already hate people of a different skin color to start hating them. And that is wrong, and that is wicked. Because fear leads to anger, which leads to hatred. And it ought not to be that way among God's people. Amen. It ought not to be that way among God's people. You know, I'm not afraid of a different skin color. I'm afraid of standing before Jesus and Him saying, you didn't love them enough. Amen. I'm not afraid of the LGBTQ, there's a bunch more, M-O-U-S-E. That probably was unkind and hurtful, and I apologize. I don't know all the right letters, okay? I don't know all that. I don't live that. I don't know what that life is like. But I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of somebody in that community. What I am afraid about is standing before Jesus Christ and Him saying, you didn't care enough to try to reach them. Amen. You led a church that wasn't good to them. That's what I'm afraid of, and that's why I preach the way that I do. Because Jesus loves everybody equally. Jesus loves us all just the way we are. Amen. He doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are, though. Amen. He don't want any of us to stay the way we are. He wants me to get to change things in my life, just like He wants the homosexual to change lives things in his life. And by the way, my sin's just as bad as his. Amen. Just as bad. It's all the same in God's eyes. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that, you know, but I am afraid of standing before Jesus and wondering what He thinks about that. Don't let your fear, please, please, please. Now I got to wrap this up because I'm late. But please get this. Don't let your fear right now cause you to begin to hate somebody. I don't care what they stand for. I don't care what they say. Don't let your fear cause you to begin to hate them. Because that is where racism really is. When we hate somebody simply because they're different, and I promise you, if you go back far enough, it's caused by fear. It's caused by fear. Here's what it all comes down to. Let me give you a scripture. I'll tell you what it all comes down to. We've already had these answers all along. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, hey, Timothy, I need to let you know something. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. If you have a spirit of fear today, God didn't give it to you. You're sitting at home, you got a spirit of fear, God didn't give that to you. Don't say, well, it's, you know, this is how I feel. Look, I feel a lot of things too. They're not all right. In fact, a lot of things I feel are not right. Because there's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right. And he said, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God never gives a spirit of fear. So anything that starts in fear is not of God. Racism is not of God. The KKK was not of God. Anti-Semitism is not of God. Anything that begins in fear and leads to hatred has nothing whatsoever to do with your holy God. He didn't give that spirit to you. You invited that from another source. Amen. CNN gave that to you. MSNBC gave that to you. And so forth and so on. Pick whatever news network you want. Don't start that. Satan gave that to you. See, because John said it, the Apostle John, he weighed in on this way late in his life. See, he knew that God said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So here's what he said. He said, try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And I say, that's not a whiskey tasting contest, folks. That is he said, look, you put them on trial. You test them. You try them and see if they're of God or not. And I'll tell you how you can tell if they're of God or not. If they lead toward hatred, if they begin with fear, they're not of God. If it started with you being afraid of something, it's not of God. It's not of God. Everything that begins as fear and moves toward hatred, whether it's a group of people or whether it's because of the color of their skin or whether it's because of the religion they have or the habits they have or the lifestyle they live, none of that is caused by God. None of that is being brought to us of God. So look, don't be afraid of the homosexual community, folks. Don't be afraid of the homosexual community. Oh, they're taking over. That's what Pharaoh said. Listen to me. They're not going to take over. They. You say, well, the land is filled with them. Okay. That's a big mission field. Go out and lead them to the Lord.
Amen.
Go out and tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
And by the way, they might tell you some of your flaws too.
Amen.
So be open to that. Be open to that. Because John said, yeah, not every spirit is of God. And spirit of fear is not of God. These false prophets that he talks about here, he said, you've got to try the spirits. If you find one that is in you because it started off as fear, you were afraid of this group of people, you were afraid of that group of people, you're afraid of this is going to happen in the world or that's going to happen in the world. Look, he said, I don't want you to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of this evil that you might see out in the world. What you do need to be afraid of is how you start thinking about them. How you start thinking about them. Look, child of God at home. Let's look at our hearts right now. Look at your heart. How do you feel about the abortion crowd? How do you feel about the Muslims? How do you feel about this? Am I saying that we should embrace all those philosophies? Of course not. But how do you feel about the people? How do you feel about the people? Oh, they're taking over and going to do this. No, that's what Pharaoh thought. That kind of fear will cause you to begin to hate them. And when enough people begin to hate them, that's how things like the KKK get started. That's how things like Antifa get started. You listen to these false prophets that are going out in the world? Let me get real plain for a minute. They're going under a lot of names today. KKK would be one of them. White supremacists would be one of them. Do you know white supremacists say they're following God? First of all, idiot, Jesus wasn't white. You keep acting like Jesus is white. He wasn't white. They're also anti-Semites. If God is going to claim anything, he's going to claim to be Hebrew. Amen. Stupid. Amen. Grow your hair back out. Get a brain. I mean, that's just dumb. That's not just wicked, Tom. That's dumb. You got to be an idiot to be a racist. You really do. But they also come under names like the ACLU. Amen. Haven't heard that in a while, and that didn't go all that great. Freedom from religion. Amen. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all these things. Look, it seems right. I know it seems right. I know it seems right. But if it started in fear, it did not come from God.
Amen.
If it started in fear, it did not come from God. It didn't start with God in Pharaoh. It didn't start with God, with the people of America who enslaved the Africans coming over and tried to continue to do that long after that. Look, it didn't. That, all that was born out of fear. But it's not that much different today. Fear is a liar. Can I give you some quick advice here and we're done? Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, don't let your existing fear cause you to hate. And don't interrupt my service anymore. Shay. Listen. Don't let it cause you to hate. God is not okay with you hating any single person on the face of this earth. God is not okay with me hating any single person on the face of this earth. I don't care what they do, what they say, how they act. I don't care what they do on TV. God said, you are not to hate. And if you don't want to hate somebody, then get rid of your fear. Fear, okay, if I allow a spirit of fear into my life, God did not send it to me, right? We saw that in Scripture. Amen. I need to confess that and repent of that fear.
Exactly.
Confess and repent. We won't hear that much in church anymore. Amen. But it needs to be said all the time. We need to confess that fear and repent of that fear before it turns to hate. So those of you that are at home and you're dying to weigh in online, would you please, before you do that, we're going to sign off from you here in just a minute. We're going to have an invitation here. I hope you'll have one at home as well. I hope you'll consider everything that has been talked about this morning, because God doesn't want us to hate. God certainly is not okay with the violence in our world and all those things. And God's people need to lead the way. And we lead the way only when we confess and repent our own sins, including the sin of fear.